All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, very excited to be talking with an individual who is set to compete at BKFC 49, which goes down on August the 25th. And we've got Jomie Escoboza knuckling up and towing the line against Esteban Rodriguez. And great having Esteban on the show. How's everything going, man?
Man, everything is amazing. I'm already actually on point with weight. I've been getting crazy training camp in. I've been doing things I normally don't do. I've been swimming. I've been crazy cardio. Like, I've been preparing for a world title fight. The ring count's about to buy it. This is going to be one of my best performances.
Yeah, and that was going to be something I was going to touch on, because it really doesn't seem like this weight category is one you need to, I guess, make dramatic adjustments to make. Like, I guess I say that in the context of you, like, debuting in BKFC as a heavyweight, but it seems like you've settled well into the cruiserweight class. So is that kind of a fair way to characterize it? Like, it's, like, maybe, like, more of, like, a natural kind of fit. Like, is it an easy effort to get down to cruiserweight, or?
Oh, yeah. I feel now, like, before I was a heavyweight, I was dominating the heavyweights. Just the fact that those heavyweight guys, man, they're real slow. I had that same power, so I was like, people kept talking me into, you know, hey, you gotta drop weight, this and this, and now you gotta drop to 185, 205. I'm like, listen, you guys, I love eating donuts too much, now. I'm a fat heart. Like, I love to eat, bro. Like, I'll smash on a whole 3-4 pound burger, you know what I mean, all in one, within 1 hour. You know, it's, I love to eat, man. And that's just like, the training camps, weight cuts, feel like that, being able to have to sacrifice my eating and all that stuff is what really just kind of solidifies their coffin. It's like, I love my food, man. I love my food. And I've been eating like tuna, fish, chicken, all this clean stuff, man. And it's been brutal, man. It's been brutal. I need me some days in my life sometimes, you know?
So are we thinking a heavyweight return might be in the cards at some point, or maybe just kind of hunker down and cruiserweight's like the main weight category?
Once I blow through this 205 division, then I might come back up to the heavyweights to show them what a real monster looks like. Then I might, if I'm able to make it happen, because weight cuts been going really, really good lately. So, I mean, who knows? I might even drop down to the 185 spots just to test to see if I can even get down there, first of all, though. But as far as it goes, 205, there's no doubt about it. This is my division.
Yeah, I mean, definitely seems to be the case, and a lot to talk about with this next fight. But in saying that, I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't at least briefly touch on the last one. Seemed to be quite the emphatic victory over Jaquese Williams in May there and everything, getting that first round stoppage at BKFC 43. Like, what were the main takeaways from that performance there? Because it seemed like a pretty exemplary showing, I guess, from like my layman perspective.
Oh, yeah. No, I went out there, man. I went out there to go throw these guys, man. I'm a different style of fighter, man. Like, nobody's ever seen a degree of fighter like me before. Everybody got a game plan, so they got a fist in their mouth, you know? And that fight, he scared me a little bit, because that was actually one of my biggest tests, because I never really went toe-to-toe with somebody that has the same range as me. So, like, that fear was definitely in my heart, and I'm like, okay, what is going to go on? And I started seeing him move a little bit more quicker than I normally see him moving in that weigh-ins and all the other stuff. So I'm like, he's got something hidden up his sleeve. Let me turn it up a notch on him. I went out there and gave him a nice good performance to do, man. I was just moving. I kept trying to hit some angles on him to make sure I wasn't getting hit, because I knew his range was there. So I did what I do best, man, and put pressure on him.
Yeah, and it's just interesting. Like, where do you think that, like, ability to put that pressure on comes from? Because that seems to be, like, a big part in your game. Like, is there a certain, like, paramount focus on the cardio that allows you to do that? Is it more of a mentality thing? Maybe, like, a combination of both?
Well, I feel like, honestly, being a victim of the environment growing up, having the troubled youth, you know what I mean, of going to prison and all this stuff, and learning the hard way, you know, I had to really fight to survive to get to a point, you know. It was a dog-eat-dog world, you know. I really had to buckle down and figure out what I was going to do with my life, because I was getting bullied when I was in school, too. I got stuffed in the locker twice when I was in high school or middle school. And it's like, it was bad growing up, you know what I mean? I had to really fight for what I really wanted, and I never really had it as easy as some of these other guys, man. And, like, everybody want to be a beast, so it's time to do what beasts do. And I start getting out there doing crazy workouts. I push my limits beyond the limits that I have. I'm always testing my limits. So nobody likes to find them uncomfortable states. You know what I mean? It's like, feel like that's what's really, I'm able to really unleash that animosity of a true human being. Like, because nobody wants to release all of that place, because we all have an image. We all got that aggressive, that protective, you know what I mean, over the family, or, you know, somebody was to smack your mom in front of you, if you ain't no fighter, regardless, you better believe you're about to turn into a fighter. So, you know, it's, I feel like it's just those high intensity, you know, training sessions, and really just like my history of having to struggle so much, you know what I mean, and come from adversity, and just, I'm here to stay, man. I'm here to fight for a dream that I've always thought of, you know, being able to lead the next generation and show them how we can actually build a path of true dreams, you know what I mean, of like, you can think of it, if you can think it, you can hold it in your head, and I can see that gold in my head. Ain't no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I'm going to blow through this 205 division like it wasn't even there.
Yeah, I appreciate. No, sorry, I was just going to say I appreciate the insights into the backstory. I guess, like, a question I had as you were talking about, like, going through some of the periods of, like, getting bullied and dealing with people like that in the rough upbringing, like, was that ultimately what led you to martial arts and combat sports?
Oh, well, actually, I don't even like to fight, to be honest. I was going to Michigan State for a HEP program they had there, high school equivalency program, to get my GED. And they wanted me to play football for them, actually, as a walk-on. So I was waiting for the next camp program that they have, College Assistant Migrant Program. And while I was waiting for that program, I had to stay fit. And a buddy of mine, Don Juarez, was actually fighting GWC up here in Michigan. And I ended up jumping in on a card with them, actually, out in Rivertown Sports Complex for Grounding Pound, I believe it was. And he was like, man, you might as well come and fight, stay active. And I was like, man, you know what, why not? I'm always going to try it out. And he gave me a 1-2 head kick combo, and I was just reeling that for like a week straight. He sent me out there with a guy that was like 6'6", 265. It was like the first time I ever seen somebody as big as this. I was scared. I ain't going to lie. I was scared. I'm like looking up at this guy. I'm like, whoa, they do exist. Like, I didn't know people like this. I didn't know there was people bigger than me. I'm usually be the one that's looking down at everybody. And I had a little cup of my own tea, and I'm like looking up. I'm like, holy crap, like, this guy's about to beat me down. Like, I've never met a man like this. And I just stuck to the game plan, man. 1-2 head kick, and I knocked him out in 4 seconds, man. And after that, I knew this was my game, man. I was built for this. I started dropping people's names after that, just dropping bodies. I went 9-1 as all knockouts. And then I went professional a little too early, but I'm working on it. Now my pro debuts and my man uncle, man, I'm going to take over.
Yeah, I love hearing that, and it seems like a natural, like, momentum-based kind of thing almost, because, like, I was seeing an article on the BKFC site just talking about your unmatched confidence, and it seems like you just have, like, a really good, like, positive, kind of exuberant kind of energy. Like, how much does that come from, like, what we were talking about before, just, like, the upbringing and, like, the hard work you put into this? Like, I would imagine, like, the work that you put into this, like, how diligent you are with it, like, it creates maybe, like, a commensurate growth in the confidence. Is that where you think it comes from?
Well, I feel like, honestly, it's, like, more or less, this world is cruel, man. It's a cruel world. Every time you think something's going to happen or go your way, it don't go your way, man. You gotta be something else. Every time, like, life comes and sweeps that rug out from under you, think you got to hold on things, and it's like, I just feel like that, building that callus up is what's, you know, going through all those things is what's kind of built that up to that point.
Yeah, I just love it. Like, I was reading the article and I saw the quote where you were saying, I'll be the next million-dollar fighter this world needs. I was just like, yeah, let's go.
Oh, you better believe it, man. It's just, the people just don't, they don't see that entertaining fights anymore. Like, I want to give the people that fight that they want. You know what I mean? That fight where we're swinging, we're ducking and dodging, I catch him, he catches me, we're looking sharp, I'm ducking and dodging, I knock him down, maybe he knocks me down, and then we're back and forth and just trading blows and, or if not, you know what I mean? It's like I finally get in there and I just dominate, you know what I mean? I'm able to touch this guy and move and get the people that combinations that get them people on their feet and those cracks, that knuckle, the flesh, and I really want to do this for the people, man. It's like I look at those gladiator days back in the days, and it's like the coliseums and the way the crowd would go crazy, it just give you a whole new
Yeah, I just love like some of the wording too. Like you talk about wanting to do it for the people, and that's been something that's been echoed a few times throughout this. I just love that. Like as much as you're individually trying to grow, like you're just trying to like uplift and inspire other people. Like I mean, it's not really a question in there. I just love that dynamic of like looking out for other people and wanting to like inspire them to, I guess, pursue whatever their dream might be.
Yeah, because like a lot of these guys out here, man, I feel like they're like boats in the water. They don't know what they want to do. That's why I wanted to dedicate myself to BKFC, because it's true. They say it just perfectly right there. Lion's not sheep. Lion's not sheep, man. You can't continue to follow the other crowd or be like these other people. You got to follow your own dreams. You got to make a dream, man. Come up with a purpose and like face it with a burning desire like that. It's your last breath, man. And just go after it. And just work for it. Just take one step. Just one step is all it takes. And I came from adversity where it was like I was in a dark place. I was in a dark, dark place. Like, I had the barrel in the mouth and everything, man. And I started thinking to myself, like, what the hell am I doing? Like, there's so much potential in this world. My son started kicking into my mind. Like, everything just started just unfolding to me. I put my hands and my knees down. I started praying up. Like, man, I ain't no religious person, but I'm going to start praying to God. I don't know what's going on here. Like, and things started happening, man. Like, I started giving faith and prayer, and I built my own relationship, because my history is everybody frowns upon it. You know what I mean? I was weapon charges and stuff like that. You know what I mean? And delivering manufacturing marijuana. Like, I was kind of impressed with the wrong people. And I jumped the gun. I didn't try to do things the right way. And, you know, I stood up, and I feel like I had to pick up the pieces. And I thought people were going to be like, oh, yeah, no, you got to do this. Like, no. This world is cruel, man, and you have to really buckle down and really get to what you really, really want in life and figure out what you want instead of what everybody else wants, and then just pursue it and just drive. And, like, now I get to be that living example. It doesn't matter where you come from, what background you have. You just put the work in and take that one step. You will always make it happen, and this dream will come true. Whatever it is that you got to buy, you just take that one step in front of it. And I'm living example, man. I'm living example. I'm making it happen. I'm going to clean out this division, and then I might clean out the next heavyweight division. You know what I mean? Who knows? God knows what my path is, but I know I'm going to give it my 100%. And I'm going to give the people what they want, and that's a damn good fighter that puts entertainment out there for people. So if these guys ain't ready to fight, I'm going to make them fight. I don't care what they got going on. You go and fight. I'm telling you right now, man. You ain't ever going to get a boring fight out of me. Guaranteed.
Yeah, I mean, glad to hear that you were able to overcome that, you know, moment there that you were talking about before. I mean, I think that really just adds to the inspirational nature of the story, just going from, like, such a low point of just, you know, having, like, a barrel in your mouth, as you described it, I believe, to, like, where you're at now and carving out, you know, such a great legacy. So just great to hear that you were able to get beyond that, man. Like I said, just another tendril of, I guess, inspiration that could be, you know, something that really fires up someone who maybe is in that situation too right now.
Oh yeah, man. It's like the one day, like when I got out of prison, man, when I got into the MMA, I used that platform trying to start changing lives. And I started talking to the kids at school, doing motivational speeches here. I talked to high school, college school, and I went to a middle school. And it's just, I got letters from those people, and that feeling that you get from like knowing somebody else is watching and like you've helped them get out of a dark place, or you help them find a light, it's a whole different emotion. It's a whole different emotion. And like, if you've never experienced it or like helped somebody else, you won't really understand what I'm talking about. You know what I mean? So it's like, people just, I feel like everybody kind of segregates themselves. And when they really just open up, they find a whole new world. You know what I mean? It's a whole new world. And when I stop segregating myself and I stop being selfish, I stopped being a little greedy and all, and I started realizing this is bigger than me. This is more than just me now. Like, we all live under the sun. We all live under the moon. It don't matter if it's a hurricane or blizzard or whatever. It's going to fuck us all up regardless of who we are. So we either got to figure out what we're going to do and work together and move towards that goal, or we're going to get ran over. And simple as that. Go back where we came from. You know, dust to dust. I'm here to leave a legacy, man. I'm here to leave a legacy, and I'm here to build the path for the next generation to let them know we are here and we can do it. How long did you take that one step? We can do it, man.
Yeah, it's such a great message, man. And you were mentioning the MMA endeavors a bit ago, and I was seeing, like, at least per Tapology that there was like around a dozen or so MMA fights across amateur and pro there. I guess in kind of bringing that up, like I'm wondering how much, I guess, transferable skill there was taking from the MMA to bare knuckle, because it would seem like the 4 ounce gloves can come like the closest to like a lot of the gloves out there to like replicate that sort of range. Like obviously the familiarity with like the active infighting and, you know, the dirty boxing clinch dynamics of BKFC, like how much of your MMA work is like transferable to what you've done in bare knuckle so far?
Well, I mean, honestly, like, when I went 9-1, all knockouts in my amateurs, and it threw me to the wolves a lot of those fights. So I was like, really just, I fought off of my back a lot of those fights. So I really had to pull through some things. I wasn't able to afford the jiu-jitsu at the time, so that's where all my losses came from. In my professional, I had Americana after Americana after Americana. I'm like, man, what the hell, dude? Like, I got to figure something out. So I started busting that out. And then they didn't give me any MMA fights because of that. So I was like, well, what's going on? Like, nobody wants to fight me because of my power. Everybody's always tipping me down as soon as I touch them. And it's like, I couldn't know what to do. And then my shoulder was blew out. Because in one of my MMA fights in my amateur days, I blew my shoulder out. I'm like yanking out of the cage trying to pull it back in. But I tore the rotator cuff, and I ended up getting two screws in there and a bone. My clavicle was bled and added onto it. Then those bones broke, and the tooth cracked, and then I had to rehabilitate it myself. That's when I got back into the pro, and I feel like that really kind of, like, forced me to, like, learn the one-twos and fundamentals of the one-twos, and then after I wasn't able to get any of those MMA fights anymore, and like, I put my faith in the man above, man. Like, that bare knuckle fighting came up. And that's when I just started realizing, like, wow, this is my sport. I have to start learning this sport, like boxing, because I had no boxing experience whatsoever, really. So now, like, being in BKFC, this is my first time really being able to see my potential in the boxing game. So, like, now, I don't even know what I can do yet. You know what I mean? So just wait to see what happens when I really sharpen up my skills. So I really start buckling down on the fundamentals and break it down to another level that these guys have never seen before. Because I like to bring the fight. You know what I mean? These guys run away from it. I bring that fire, and I live in that fire because I thrive in that. And if you don't get past that, you're always going to run away from that heat. And everything about this world is about heat. You know what I mean? Energy. You know what I mean? So it's just like it ain't going to stop for nobody. Why are you going to stop for it? You know? So that's what I feel like. It just drives me. I feel like that MMA really wasn't that helpful for my BKFC, because in reality, it was just, every time I took somebody, you know, I hit somebody, they always just took me down, so I was always fighting off on my back, you know what I mean, doing reversals and stuff like that. So it's like, jumping into the BKFC, this is just the beginning of my boxing career now. So just give me a little bit, man. I'm telling you, give me a little bit, man. I'm going to clean these guys out in an orderly fashion. Quick, too.
Yeah, I guess just hearing you talk about that, like, it would seem like this is a great opponent to be able to, like, really showcase the skills you've accrued. Like, you seem very excited to be able to do that. This guy's, like, around that, like, double-digit mark of bare-knuckle fights almost. Former BYB champion. I mean, looking to rebound from that Jared Warren fight. So, like, presumably he's got, like, a certain mentality throughout this camp. So, I mean, just in saying all of that, I would think this would be a great opponent to showcase those newer skills you're talking about.
Yes, sir. I've been looking forward to somebody like this for a very long time. Usually I just punch somebody and they just crumble. I'm like, all right, finally somebody was going to fight back. Somebody was going to finally put pressure back. When pressure and pressure meet, woo, that's when you get those explosive fights right there. So there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We're going to be fighting tonight. Yes, sir.
Yeah, and I mentioned the resume there more so, but just curious if you're, I guess I'm presuming you're a guy that does a certain level of tape study on your opponents. I guess in saying that, like, what are some of the better stylistic attributes you've seen from Jomie Escoboza? Like, what does he do well in the ring?
Well, he's got a good jab. He's got a counter. He fights off the back, man. He's a back-flinch fighter, man. So he's not going to be able to handle the pressure I'm bringing. And, I mean, honestly, I feel like now that I'm able to really read those kind of things, before I never could really understand that. It was just red. All right, go, 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 go. Now I know what I have to do. I know how to do it with precision. And now I'm doing it with accuracy now. But now this fight is going to be a whole different. They're not just going to see a brawler going out there. I'm not just going to go out there to start brawling and just smothering these guys. Like, no. I'm hitting angles now.
yeah, I mean, I was excited for this fight before talking to you, but you're definitely getting me even more invested in what, like I said, looks like a great fight, man. But I appreciate you coming on and giving these great insights ahead of this awesome fight that I think is very much going to inform how the division looks going forward. But in kind of saying all that and just wanting to be mindful of your time, Esteban, I'm curious if there's maybe like a final parting thought you'd want to add as we're sort of wrapping up here, man.
I just want to give a huge shout out to all the sponsors who's helped to support me, all the fans, and you know, my friends and family that has supported me, Avanti Law Group, you know, Reserve Marketing out of Grand Rapids, Michigan, too. Like, all these guys, they've been really sitting there backing me up. And if it wasn't for my sponsors that helped me with this, you know, I wouldn't be where I'm at right now. The support from my city and the state that I get now is what drives me to be able to be the best version of myself. That is why I'm really just striving to be the best of the best, because I know with that platform, I can show these people that they believed in me. And if you can believe, if somebody else can believe in somebody else until they believe in themselves, anything is possible, man. And I'm here to show the people that, you know, if they're believes in me, I will not let them down, and I will give my all, and I will finish this goal, and I will complete this mission.
I think that's an awesome message, man, and very excited to see the next chapter in this story of yours unfurl on August 25th at BKFC 49. And like I was saying before, but can't hurt to reiterate, appreciate you coming on and giving great insights ahead of this Jomi Escoboza fight, man. But until then, Esteban, you just have a good rest of your day, man. And yeah, thanks for the time.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you so much for having me on. God bless you too, man. And keep on striving towards your goals too, man, because you're making it happen. And thank you for everything you do. If it wasn't for people like you, we wouldn't be able to do what we do. So thank you.
Oh, I appreciate that a lot, man. I just love getting to be able to talk to these fighters and try to tell their stories the best I can. So I appreciate you coming on. And I mean, you've got a great story too, man. And like I said, that next chapter unfurling very soon. So hopefully the first of many chats. But until then, you have a good rest of your day, Esteban. Thank you.
You too, man. Take it easy, bro.
All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, very excited to be talking to an individual. He's had to compete at BKFC 49, which goes down on August the 25th, and it transpires in Miami, Florida. And quite the intriguing bout here is we've got Esteban Rodriguez and Jomi Escoboza knuckling up and toeing the line, and great having Jomi on the show. How's everything going there, man?
Oh, sorry. Hello?
Oh, hey, I was just wondering how your day's going so far, man.
Day's going good. You know, got the first training in, working with some clients, showing properties. I'm a realtor as well. So, you know, in between, you know, throughout the day, in between training sessions, I'm working with clients. Sometimes, you know, I'll get in between working with clients and training sessions. If it's, you know, on the way to certain places, I'll do a little Uber here and there for extra money. So, you know, I'm kind of a jack of all trades, you know.
I was going to say, you ever get any, like, bare knuckle fans, like, in an Uber ride with you? Like, they get a ride set up and they're like, hey, you're Jomi Escoboza.
Not yet. But, you know, eventually it'll get to that point. But probably by then, you know, I probably don't even be doing Uber like that. I don't do it that much. I just do it, you know, if I'm doing certain, you know, long rides to certain places, I just turn it on and be like, you know, might as well, you know, get paid to go, you know, drive to a certain location, you know?
Yeah, and I feel like it'd be flexible, like, you know, get a little bit of extra income coming in. So I would think it would work well with what you're doing. Like, obviously, predominantly prioritizing the training, but just in kind of talking about that there, like you talked about like training some of the clients and stuff like that, I guess I'm curious as far as like the specific work you've been getting in, because I've seen, you know, BKFC, you know, Cheat Code is like very close to you and stuff like that, and you've gotten to get in that work with like Team KO Committee and, you know, Kill Cliff FC and stuff like that. So can you kind of talk about like the recent training preparations? Is it still kind of in line with all of that there?
Yeah, for sure. I've been, you know, training with Slaughterhouse and Ryan Perez. You know, he's an amazing coach. And, you know, he gets us ready for war, gets us in the right mentality, gets us in the right shape. And we've been cooking up in the kitchen a long time because, you know, I haven't been fighting in a while. So there's a lot of new tricks that we bring into the table and, you know, a lot of deadly ones. So it's going to be fun to showcase them for everybody to see and, And yeah, the training's just been great. Got some amazing training partners, you know, and that helped me prepare, you know, for war, helped me prepare for any kind of style that gets thrown at me. So, so yeah, man, it's just it's very exciting to be ready to, you know, showcase all the new little tricks. And same old tricks, you know, because, you know, the old tricks still work, but we're always evolving and learning new tricks to add to the style and be like Bruce Lee, you know?
Yeah, it's just interesting to hear that because, I mean, you've already accomplished such great things in the sport, just already having been the BYB Extreme Cruiserweight Champion and the wins you've had in BKFC. And, I mean, it seems like a lot more to be done thereafter. So just very intriguing to hear that we're going to even see some, you know, new refined skills and like a newer version of yourself. I think that's pretty exciting for bare knuckle fans to hear that.
Yes, yes, yes. You know, I'm as excited as the fans, to be honest, because there's just a lot of things that that I wanted to showcase, you know, in this past year that I've been, you know, grinding and training and just picking up, but it's just, you know, finally we get to show it, and it's going to be very painful for the person that I showcase it on.
Yeah, for sure, and a lot to touch on with this fight, but, I mean, I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't at least briefly kind of, you know, touch on the last one just to get the sort of, you know, full timeline, and kind of interesting, too, just with the last one being, like, a light heavyweight foray and now being back at cruiserweight. So, I mean, I guess I'll kind of touch on that a bit after, but I guess initially curious to get your, I guess, main takeaways from that Jared Warren fight there.
So for the last one, right, you're talking about last year?
Yeah, the fight in July of 2022, yeah.
Yeah, so that one, 2020, yeah, so that one, basically, I was fighting with no urgency in that fight, which was really stupid. It was the one fight my whole career, not even in amateurs, I ever fought that calm. Like, I felt like I was too relaxed, and I only used one technique that whole entire fight, which is still hilarious to me. And like, I only used single jabs. I barely used my left hand in that fight, and you could see the damage and the numbers that I put up just by using single jabs, not even double jabs or like mixing it up with my jab, but just using single jabs, I was still able to create that amount of damage and still frustrate, you know, a high level fighter or whatever. So, you know, so on the last bell of that fight, you know, I look down to my left hand. I'm just like, wow, you fucking idiot. You know, I should have used way more than a jab. You know, I fought way too relaxed. Even though I still think, you know, I got robbed that fight because, you know, I put up more damage, more numbers. But, you know, I didn't fight, you know, with my style, the Jomi style, pressure, come forward. I still put up the numbers, you know, because I always throw more punches than my opponents and land more punches. I always try to, you know, make sure that I get that on my opponent, you know, get that one up on my opponent always, because you don't always, I never want to be that fighter that's boring or that doesn't throw enough punches, you know, so I always try to keep that punch count high. But yeah, so that fight, you know, it was just a fight that I fought way too relaxed, way too calm. I let him walk forward. I was walking backwards, you know, circling out. I wasn't really coming forward, even though I was creating a lot of damage with my jab because it's a strong weapon of mine. You know, it still, you know, it still looks bad for the judges, you know. So, you know, after that fight, I was pissed off with myself. I've been pissed off with myself since, and that's been, like, my main motivation. I just go back and look at that fight and be like, look, you idiot, you got to throw, you know, everything. You got to be, you know, coming forward. You have to be taking control. Like, you can never do that again. So in my mind, you know, never again I can ever fight that calmly. I always have to put pressure and bully and come forward and you know, make it, how do you say it, like a definite win, like unanimous win.
And I did touch on the fact that last one was at 185, and kind of returning to cruiserweight here, I mentioned you had that, you know, title accolade in that weight category in BYB. Like, do you think the future is mainly at cruiserweight here? Because I know in the past you've even indicated interest in titles as low as, like, at 175 pounds. So do you have, I guess, aspirations across multiple divisions or maybe prioritize cruiserweight more going ahead?
So the thing is that BYB and BKFC, like these different promotions, they have different names for weight classes. So I was still fighting at 185 pounds, you know, in BYB. It's called the cruiserweight division. So, you know, I became the first 185 pound bare knuckle boxing champion in the United States since it became legal 6 years ago. So I have that in the history books, stamped down. So this fight, it was kind of they couldn't find me an opponent. So, you know, I said, give me whatever, you know, just, I don't care. Just dig your name in the hat and whatever comes out, you know, I'm ready. I've been training for a year, you know, I've been literally in fight camp for a year. So, you know, I've been waiting. I was supposed to fight, you know, last year, November, then December 3rd, didn't fight, and then, you know, I kept going on month after month, event after event that I was supposed to fight, so I've just been in training camp this whole time, so this name came up, Fed 205, I said, well, you know, perfect, I don't need to cut weight, and, you know, I can bulk up and fight, you know, and just, it, you know, become stronger, have more power in my punches, I'm going to be the faster fighter for sure. And, so, you know, coming up and wait for one fight doesn't hurt, you know, as long as, you know, I could get somebody to, you know, sign a contract to fight because, you know, I needed a fight. It's too long. It's been way too long. So I was just like, give me whatever. They gave me this guy, 205. I'm like, bet.
Yeah, just interesting to hear you talk about it like that because I feel like, based on what you're talking about, a move back down to 185 after this one would be the ideal move, and just kind of an interesting landscape, because you talked about that Warren fight kind of being, like, more competitive than, I guess, maybe some people remember, and he just had that rematch for the interim light heavyweight title with Josh Dyer, so just kind of interesting. Like, it would seem like you're in kind of close proximity to that, like, title picture. Like, you're definitely not, like, far removed from that kind of level of the division.
Yeah, for sure, man. I believe I'm at the top of the 185-pound division, you know, and I'm as many wins to take that belt and keep ranking up as many 185-pound belts in bare knuckle and, you know, be known as the unified lineal champ, taking all the belts from other promotions at 185 pounds.
So that was, like, a goal you'd, like, expressly set for yourself at one point, just wanting to be that, like, belt collector across all the big shows?
Yeah, for sure. Be like, the first lineal champ to take over the 185 pounds of the whole entire bare knuckle boxing. So, because, like, I already became the first 185-pound bare knuckle boxing champion since it became legal 6 years ago, so...
Yeah, I mean, I guess we could even catch you in BKB then chasing their 185-pound title then, perhaps, right?
Hello?
Yeah, I was just saying, we could probably catch you chasing that BKB 185-pound title possibly then, right?
Yeah, for sure. So that was the original plan when I was in BYB was to when I became champion was, you know, So I was just presented an opportunity to come into BKFC, so I just came in, you know, to try to win a belt.
Yeah, and I mean, debuting in such a huge way, too, just like such a large audience for Knuckle Mania, the second installment of that tentpole event, and a sellout crowd. So, yeah, it really seems like you've gotten some huge opportunities so far, and this next one definitely you know, seems within that as well. So it seems like the, you know, time in BKFC has been good in that sense too. But it also seems like from an interview that I saw of yours that you almost maybe prefer the like more Matador kind of opportunities the larger BKFC ring provides that maybe the BYB Trigon doesn't allow for. So it seems like a good fit in a few regards, I guess.
Wait, say that again because you were cutting up.
Oh, sorry. I was just saying it seems like you really enjoy those more like Matador opportunities in the larger BKFC ring compared to like the tighter Mighty Trigon there. So it seems like the BKFC run has been a good fit in a couple regards.
Yeah, I mean, both promotions are great. You know, I'm just, you know, just trying to fight as often as possible and trying to stay healthy and.
Yeah, and just interesting too, because like as much as you are a very, you know, experienced bare knuckle fighter with like the recorded fights, it also seems like there's quite a few unrecorded ones too. Like I saw an interview, we were talking about like the, you know, like illegal, like backyard fighting, Kimbo Slice kind of days. So, I mean, you've seen a lot of cool eras of the sport as far as how it has grown and everything. Can you kind of speak to that, just the growth you've seen in bare knuckle through all the different fights you've had and everything?
Yeah, I mean, the growth has just been amazing. YouTube days and shit. And then, you know, those were pretty dope. Already has like what four big promotions, you know, and a bunch of fighters and stuff like that. Like the UFC and MMA 6 years in, I don't think, you know, was like that. They didn't have Bellator or ONE FC or PFL, you know, 6 years into MMA. So I think bare knuckle boxing, the evolution that it's going through, it's pretty amazing, and it's an honor to, you know, have made history early in the sport and, you know, mark my name in the history books.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a great story so far, man, but the next chapter in that story unfurling here with, you know, this next one here against Esteban Rodriguez, and just curious to get your thoughts on what he brings to the table, because just in kind of backgrounding on him, I saw he had around a dozen MMA fights over amateur and pro, but more specifically 2-0 in BKFC and has a pair of pretty early finishes. Like, what are your thoughts on, I guess, what you've seen from him stylistically, but also his resume as a fighter?
Hold on, so let me try one thing right quick. Hello?
Yeah, sorry, I'll just reiterate the question. I was just curious about your thoughts on like what Esteban Rodriguez brings to the table, being that he's 2-0 in BKFC with a pair of early finishes. Like, what have you seen him, I guess, do well stylistically, and what are your thoughts on his resume as a fighter?
I mean, he's a tough fighter, comes forward very aggressive. The way I see it is in bare knuckle boxing, everybody has knockout power. It doesn't matter if you're a bum or if anything. It only takes 6 pounds of pressure to knock somebody out on the chin. So I see, you know, he's very good for being aggressive. You know, he comes forward, he puts pressure a lot. And, you know, he's a 205er, so, you know, at 205, anybody has power. So he's just a tough fighter all around, comes forward and aggressive from what I've seen, you know.
Yeah, for sure, and a good breakdown. I guess it's kind of interesting because you were even kind of talking about the last fight, like how you felt like being on the back foot and mostly working off the jab, like maybe it didn't behoove you, but just talking about this opponent being like a larger kind of guy, like maybe it would, I guess, benefit the game plan to kind of have a more like lateral movement, like range-minded kind of approach. Like, does this fight here, being that it's a bigger opponent, like does it almost behoove you to kind of have that almost same approach, like the lateral movement, really work the jab kind of approach? Or like, what would the methodology be without giving away like too much of a game plan, I guess?
I mean, like, ever since, you know, that last fight, I've been cranking up a lot of the pressure and just coming forward and output. So the output is going to be even more than what you've seen in the past, which has been a lot. You know, I've always, you know, throw more punches and out-pressure my opponents. So you're going to see that, you know, like times 100. You're going to see that a lot more more aggressive Jomi. And just so the size really doesn't matter, to be honest, because at 85, 205, that's basically my weight. So I spar with a lot of guys at that weight as well. And yeah, and it's funny because even before accepting this fight, I was sparring with one of my friends who just won his debut in pro boxing, high level Cuban boxer. And he's a 205er too, so like I've been getting a lot of work out to him, getting ready for his fight, and it just so happened to end up being the perfect person to help me get ready for this fight once it came up to the table. So like, size, it doesn't matter, you know. All it is just using his style and his form of fighting against him, and making him add more power to my punches. So it's gonna be a lot of coming forward and, you know, angles as well, but that's gonna be for every fight, not just this fight. It's just, you know, every fight going forward, you're just gonna see more coming forward, more angles, and just you know, just establishing control a lot, because it's just I can't fight like that last fight again. That's just like the one fight that I look back, I'm just like, you idiot, you could have easily won that fight.
Yeah, just interesting to hear the insights, but a lot of interesting experiences you've had in combat sports, it seems like. And one of the ones that I kind of wanted to touch on, just because, I mean, it just seems interesting, the whole, like, I guess, scenery of it, just going to Russia with Elvin Burrito and you guys having, like, your respective, you know, boxing bouts there on Christmas Day. Like, what was that whole experience like, just going to throw down in Russia on Christmas there for hardcore boxing?
That was an amazing experience to go, you know, fly all the way over there, other side of the world. They treated us amazing, you know, treated us well. The only thing was I took that fight less than 3 weeks' notice, cut 25 pounds. And it was for one of my teammates at the time at a lower weight class. And I just took the fight, you know, just to, you know, for the experience. And, because I thought, you know, I was going to be able to make the weight no problem, but I made the weight, I gained back maybe like 12 pounds, which wasn't enough. I cut 25 pounds and I was drained. By the time I was hitting pads before the fight, I was already like drained and tired. So it was just, you know, one of those things where I kind of like just took the fight, because I know, like, for me, fighting so much bare knuckle boxing, boxing with gloves, even if it's a pro boxing with 10-ounce gloves, like it's like sparring for me. So I already knew that I wasn't going to go out there and get hurt. And so I kind of like just took that fight, you know, short notice, and more so for the experience and to you know, just to try to travel and go around the world. But it was a stupid mistake to cut down all that weight, because I haven't fought at that weight at 180 pounds since before COVID. So yeah, I would say the biggest mistake was just agreeing to that weight. and just taking the fight out that way. If I can go back, you know, I probably won't take it just because I want to, showcase my skills a lot better than what I did. But it's all good, you know. I'll probably go back over there soon and definitely do things the right way, the Jomi way at 185 pounds.
Yeah, that's good to hear that you're thinking of maybe running it back again in a higher weight category. But yeah, that seems to be a cool part of the fighting journey, just the different opportunities to kind of travel and get these, I guess, different perspectives, like whether it's for a fight or just like, you know, training in general, just all the different people coming together. Like, I thought it was cool and kind of doing my backgrounding on you that I saw you had a pick there at Black Zillions with David Loazo and like another training where you were getting down to the Brazilian funk. So a lot of nations coming together in a lot of ways, it seems like.
Wait, I'm sorry. Say that the last one again.
I was just seeing the Brazilian funk was like the big like music to jam to, and I was talking about David Loazo like training you at one point and getting in some like sparring and whatnot. So very international, it seems like.
Oh, where at the Black Zillions, you said?
Yeah, I would like had done like some research from like a period of time ago and saw a picture of you with the Crow.
Oh yeah. When he came through to train with the Black Zillions, yeah, man, learned a lot of nasty elbows from him, man. He's a legend in the game, you know. So it's training with the Black Zillions, we had a lot of different fighters and coaches come through and teach us some crazy techniques and. So it was definitely a good time learning from him and just being able to learn deadly techniques from a legend.
Yeah, I just thought that was cool to see being a Canadian lad myself there. I mean, such a noteworthy standout fighter. Like you said, legend, former UFC middleweight title challenger. So definitely a fire up to see that. Always good to learn from people like that. But you've had great experiences across multiple combat sports as well. So a lot of great direct experiences had. But definitely want to be mindful of your time, Jomi. I don't want to take up your full afternoon. I'm sure I could ask you some more questions and everything. Just, you know, you've got a good mind for the game, it seems, but also want to be considerate of your time and schedule. So in saying that, is there like maybe a final parting thought you'd want to add as we're kind of wrapping up here, man?
You were cutting up a little bit. You were saying that you got a couple more questions?
Oh, no, I was just wondering if there's like a final parting thought you might want to add as we're kind of wrapping up here. Just, yeah, appreciate the time.
No, man, appreciate the time, man. Appreciate, the opportunity to be on the platform and, just to talk about the upcoming fight, you know. And, yeah, man, I'm just excited to put on a show for the fans and finally bring some more damage on the bare knuckle scene. You know, it's been a while. I've been cooking up in the kitchen, you know, some deadly techniques to display for everybody. So, you know, just be on the notice for some crazy destruction on August 25th.
It's gonna be a very intriguing fight against Esteban Rodriguez at BKFC 49, and appreciate you coming on and giving insights ahead of this fight, man, and definitely looking forward to checking that out when it goes down. But until then, you have a good rest of your day, Jomi. Thank you.
All right, brother. Thank you, man. Appreciate everything. And tune in August 25th. It's gonna be war, very bloody night, a lot of good fights on that card, a lot of my teammates and friends fighting on that card. It's going to be a massacre, a lot of KOs. I predict there's going to be a lot of KOs.
Yeah, definitely a fair prediction as I'm kind of checking out the card now on the BKFC website and everything like that. So many exciting fights, and like you said, a lot of teammates on the card too. So definitely can't wait for when all that goes down. But just until then, you have a good rest of your day, man. And yeah, thank you for the time and insights.
All right, brother, you too. Have a good one. Stay safe.